What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 326, episode 326 of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here, March Madness has officially begun. Now, it hasn't started from the aspect of the NCAA tournament per se, but usually once March comes, that means business is picked up in college basketball because now you have the conference tournaments and then the NCAA tournament. So, there you have it. Now, see, for me, and for those of y'all that have been following me this year, or at least last year, y'all know how I am when it comes to women's college basketball. I watch women's college basketball way more than the guys. I'm going to just keep it a buck. I'm going to keep it a stack. Ain't no shame in my game in saying it. It is what it is. I just enjoy the girls more. They're more stars. I can name about 10 stars on the women's side and can't name three from the dudes. There may be some, but I can't pick them. So what I'm doing with this is I'm going to speak on the conference tournaments on the women's side of college basketball. Who I think should be the number one, you know, the number one seeds going in to the tournament. Obviously, the brackets haven't been created yet, but I still want to give my opinion on it and whatnot. And, you know, first thing is in order. That LSU-South Carolina game was amazing. It kind of was my prediction that LSU and South Carolina would meet in the SEC title game. It's crazy because Tennessee almost had something to say about that. But, well, before I can even go to that South Carolina-LSU game, the Tennessee-South Carolina game was something. And I think that was the first time, obviously, that we really saw South Carolina on the brink of losing. Because for those of y'all that don't know, they're the only undefeated team in college basketball right now, on the men's side and the women's side. And that SEC semifinals game against Tennessee, they almost got their first loss. Now, their season wouldn't have been over. They still probably would have been a number one seed for whatever bracket they was going to be in for the NCAA tournament, but they would have had their first loss. But, you know, I believe they were up by two, if I'm not mistaken. I believe they was up by two. I believe they was up by two, and Raven Johnson just inbounded the ball to Cardoso, shot the three, and it went in. Now, obviously, the question that everybody was saying after the game was, how could you leave her open? How could you leave her open? Now, I guess to Tennessee's defense, I guess they figured, oh, she ain't a good three-point shooter. No need to contest her. But Cardoso said, hold my beer or hold my drink. I don't know if she drinks or whatever, but, hold my drink, basically. And there you have it. Then we get to the LSU game. Again, this was my prediction that they would meet in a rematch from a few weeks ago where South Carolina went to Baton Rouge and won. We then get to this game. And, I mean, for the most part, South Carolina was basically in command the whole game. Then we get to the last quarter, and listen, we all know the fight broke out or whatever, and it took a lot of time to clear everything up. And long story short, South Carolina winds up winning the game. A lot of tension after that play. I mean, Flu J, I think that's her name, or Flo J, she pushed Watkins, and Cardoza felt the need that she had to defend her teammate and go drop and basically pushed her on the floor. And then, Flu Jo, her brother basically came from the from the stands. Well, not from the, basically from where the fans sit, jumped over the table, well, stood on the table, and then got on the court. Now, luckily, security was there to basically move him away from everything, but it was a whole it was a lot of it was a bunch it was a lot of a melee that came up with that. And thank goodness that nothing really crazy happened. The benches were cleared, so obviously, when a situation like that happens, players are going to get ejected. And Cardoso got ejected, a couple of other players got ejected. And long story short, South Carolina still won the game. But for me, it was a good game overall. But just that little image right there, it basically tainted the game, because nobody is really talking about the game. Everybody is talking about the melee. It was a very good game, which I wasn't surprised. When you have these two teams come together, especially the last 2 years, when these two teams get together, oh yeah, it's box office, and it's definitely going to do some shit. But Dawn Staley, being the outstanding professional that she is, always saying the right things, always being gracious. She apologized to the fans, after the game. She even shook hands with, Flu J from LSU, apologized and everything like that. So the cooler heads prevailed, at least on the South Carolina side. Then you get to Kim Mulkey, and then her statements at the end of the game, basically saying that how she wished that Cardoso would have did that to Angel Reese. Basically saying that how if she would have did that to Angel Reese, things would have been a little different. But see, in that situation right there, you could have took the same approach that Dawn Staley took, and that was basically apologize to the fans. Not only did Dawn Staley apologize to the fans, she apologized to South Carolina as a whole, and she apologized to LSU. But Kim Mulkey had to be the outcast. She had to be the black sheep. She had to be the one to show that. Basically, her press conference at the end of the game was cringeworthy. And that's why so many people have a love-hate relationship when it comes to her. Because me personally, I have a love-hate relationship with her. I still haven't forgotten what she said about Brittany Griner while she was at Baylor, and then even when she was detained in Russia. I still haven't forgiven her for that. So I have a love-hate relationship for her as well. She could be a great coach. She could be that. But your personality and the way you carry yourself and the way you talk sometimes can rub people the wrong way. And that's basically what she's done a few times. But again, South Carolina won. They're still the only unbeaten team in college basketball or the men and women's side. And now, they just got to wait to see, which bracket they're going to be in, because clearly they're going to be the number one seed. They're going to be the number one overall seed going into the tournament. Iowa is still going strong. They were the number three seed in their Big Ten tournament, and they wound up beating Nebraska 94 to 89 in an overtime game. Now, obviously, we know who's on Iowa, and that would be Caitlin Clark. But she did struggle in that first half. Now, yes, she scored 34 points, but she did not have a good first half. So a lot of them came in that second half. She showed up when she needed to. Didn't have a good first quarter. But I like this Iowa team. I really do. I really like this Iowa team. Do I think that they can make some noise in the tournament? I absolutely think they can. I really think they can. If if Hannah Stukely, I think that's her last name. Hopefully I'm not muffling it. If she can continue to play the way, like, I watched Iowa games here and there. Now, obviously, when you think of Iowa, you only think of Caitlin Clark. You don't think of nobody else. Now, see, there are some other players on that team that deserves recognition. Like, you know, Gabby Marshall, amazing player. Amazing player. She may not score as much. She's short, but she could play defense. She's a rough rider, right? We got, again, Hannah Stukely. Hopefully I pronounced her name right. She can get you a double-double. You know what I'm saying? So there's some players on Iowa that can do some justice. Do I think they can make a long run in the tournament? I do believe they can. Depending on which bracket they wind up being in, I think they could do it. Notre Dame in the ACC tournament, they beat North Carolina State in the finals. Now, when you think of Notre Dame, you think of that freshman sensation. You think of Hannah Hidalgo. That's who you think of. Just amazing talent. I remember watching her play South Carolina when they was in Paris. This is when the season first started. And I knew right then and there that she was going to be a force. Now, it was unfortunate that she wound up having to play South Carolina. But I knew that she was going to do some damage this upcoming season. And she has. She has. She's one of the top players in the country. One of the top players in the ACC. Definitely one of the top freshmen, aside from Juju Watkins, of course. I think Notre Dame could really do some shit in this upcoming tournament. I truly believe that they can. I mean, depending on what bracket they're in, they're going to make it very interesting for one of these top teams. I don't know what seed they'll wind up being. I could definitely see Notre Dame probably being a third or fourth seed, depending on what bracket they're in. So whichever bracket they're in, they're going to make it very difficult for those teams. Very much. They're going to make it very difficult. The Big East tournament, I mean, I think out of all the tournaments, out of all the conference tournaments, I think we pretty much knew who was going to win certain tournaments, conference tournaments. And with the Big East, it's going to be who it's always been for quite some time, and that's going to be UConn. You know, it was a cakewalk for them. They basically beat shit down Marquette's leg, 58-29. I mean, UConn usually scoring about 60, 70 points. So this was a low score for them, but they still got the job done. Paige Beckers, we know about her. Like, we already know how amazing she is. Nika Moore. Hopefully I said her name right. I love me some Nika. I love me some Nika. She can play as well. I mean, the stats don't show it. I know she averages about a good 7 points a game, 6 assists a game. An amazing defender. But, you know, they were short of Aaliyah Edwards. So hopefully she'll be good to go come NCAA tournament time, which I believe she will. I think Connecticut is probably going to be a 3 or 4th seed as well. I definitely don't see them being a 1 or 2. I could definitely see them being a 3 or 4, for sure. The Pac-12 tournament. We got USC and Stanford. 2 times this year, USC has beaten Stanford. 2 times. The first game, Juju went to work. She damn near beat Stanford by herself. This game, she had some help. And even she didn't have a good game. I mean, she shot 2 from 15 from the field. It ain't that often you hear about Juju Watkins. She only had 9 points for the whole game. But she had other players step up. Mackenzie Forbes, who's having who's having a good season. Now, I know all the attention goes to Juju, rightfully so. But Mackenzie Forbes is holding her own on this USC team. But we all know the talk is Juju. We know that already. Stanford, I really don't know what's going on with them. They've been up and down this whole season, even though they have a 28-5 record. But this is the last campaign for Cameron Brink. She's already declared that she's going to the WNBA draft. So this tournament will be her final NCAA tournament. She's already a national champion. So I'm quite sure she definitely wants to get that second national championship. But depending on what bracket they're in, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. Now, I don't know if their bracket is going to be like the men. You know, with the men, it's always East, West, South, Midwest. Then with the girls, you might have like a Greenville region or a Las Vegas region or a Texas region and shit like that. So depending on what bracket Stanford is in, it's going to get interesting because I think USC, I definitely could see, especially with them winning the Pac-12, I can definitely see USC being a number one seed going into the tournament. I could definitely see them being a number one seed in one of these brackets, especially after getting this win. Yeah. And then, you know, Texas wound up winning their Big 12 tournament. I could definitely see Texas probably being a number one seed. Well, actually, Georgetown, I said Connecticut beat Marquette in the finals. No, they beat Georgetown. Sorry about that. Pardon self. They won 78-42 and wound up beating Georgetown. But, yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited for the NCAA tournament on the women's side. Now, I will watch the guys. Don't get me wrong. I will watch them. Because, like, this is the time, especially now, when I'm really in tune. I've been in tune with women's college basketball all season, right? For the guys, this is the time when I'm really engaged in it. When it comes conference tournament time, going into the NCAA tournament. That's when I give the NBA a rest. And for that good 3 weeks or so, men's college basketball gets my undivided attention on the basketball side. Because the girls are definitely getting it. Because I believe that they have been the cream of the crop all season long. I believe for the past 2-3 years, they've been the cream of the crop when it comes to college basketball. I've said this on my platform and on other platforms. But there you have it. And again, like I said, no bracket has been announced yet. No bracket has been announced yet. You know, they're waiting for the guys to end their conference play, which is actually going on right now. So, you know, I mean, when this episode drops a few days afterwards, that's when the brackets will come into play. But as of right now, the top five teams in women's college basketball, obviously it's South Carolina. We know they're number one. Iowa is number two. USC's number three, Texas is number four, and Stanford is number five. Now, which four of those teams I think will be number one seeds going into the tournament? Obviously, South Carolina is going to be a number one seed. Iowa is going to be a number one seed. USC, I believe, will be a number one seed just off the aspect of them winning their conference. Yes, Stanford has the better record. They basically have two full games on USC. Stanford's the fifth seed. They're 28-5. USC is 26-5. But I think just off them winning the head-to-head battle, both games, and winning the Pac-12, I definitely believe they'll be a number one seed. And then that fourth seed can that fourth number one seed, that's when things get dicey. It'll be either Texas and Stanford in my eyes, and I think it'll be Texas because I honestly believe that if you are already a high-ranked team, if you are already a high-seed team, and you win your conference tournament, I think it's only right that you get rewarded with being a top seed going into the NCAA tournament. So I think those are going to be the four teams: South Carolina, Iowa, USC, Texas. Now it all boils down. Now again, it all boils down to the region. You know what I'm saying? It all boils down to the region. Now, I'm gonna say this from, I'm gonna use it from the male aspect. I would say South Carolina, I would put South Carolina as the number one seed in the East. I would have Iowa be the number one seed in the South region. No, in the Midwest region. I would have USC be the number one seed in the West region, and then I would have Texas be the number one seed in the South region. That's how I will put it. But again, the women's side, the women's bracket, and the guys' bracket is different and how they decipher the regions. So again, when Sunday comes, after this episode is dropped, this episode will drop on a Friday. That Sunday, this upcoming weekend, both brackets will be done, the men's side and the women's side. So there you have it. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm very much excited for March Madness. I think it's too early for me to say who I think is going to make the Final Four. And I think the reason why I say it's too early is because, again, we don't know where everybody is being placed. We don't know. But as a devoted fan of women's college basketball, let me just say this, man. If we could somehow get South Carolina, Iowa, LSU, and USC, if we could get those four teams in the Final Four, with UConn being my sleeper, if we could get those first four teams I just mentioned in the Final Four, we talking about records being broke as far as viewers. Like never. Now remember, last year they did some shit. Last year they did numbers. But if you could get South Carolina, Iowa, LSU, and USC in the Final Four, man, my God. But again, the only way, like, in the perfect world, that's the bracket that I would love to have for the Final Four. In the perfect world, that's the perfect Final Four. But we don't know where these teams are gonna line up at. We really don't know. So when Sunday night comes and the selection team gets together and they make their picks of who makes the tournament and where they place them, only time will tell. It's gonna be interesting, I tell you that. It's definitely going to be interesting, to say the least. And I can't wait because I'm definitely gonna be tuned in watching it. For sure, for sure. ESPN put together their All-American team. I honestly have no objection with their five. Paige Bueckers, Cameron Brink, Caitlin Clark, Hannah Hidalgo, and Juju Watkins. That's their five. That's their ESPN All-American team. Now, the common name that's not on this list is Angel Reese. But honestly, looking at this list, I think everybody is very well deserving. Very well deserving. Very well deserving. Paige has been healthy all season. which is what we've been wanting for the last 2 years. Cameron Brink has been the amazing player that she's been since she stepped on Stanford's court. Caitlin Clark, what do we need to say about her? She done made history countless times this season. Hannah from Notre Dame, just amazing. And then Juju, just breaking records. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no objection. And I love Angel Reese. I truly do. Get double-doubles out the ass, and she be getting amazing double-doubles. Like, she be getting, like, 20-20 type double-doubles or 20, close to 20 rebound type double-doubles. You know what I'm saying? She ain't getting them 10-10 double-doubles. She damn near getting 20-20 double-doubles. But, again, I have no objection with this All-American 5 from ESPN. I have no objection. I have no objection. As much as I love Angel Reese, I don't know who I would take off. Because you definitely want to put freshmen on here. And then what better two freshmen that's deserving it than Hidalgo and Juju? So yeah, I have no problem with this list. I have no problem with it. But let's get to some NFL talk. Listen, free agency is on some shit right now. And I'm here for it. I'm very much here for it. A lot of free agencies, a lot of stuff has been going on in free agency. And the common one, the main one I want to speak on, I'm going to speak on a lot of them, but obviously the one that I really, really want to speak on is Saquon Barkley leaving the Giants to go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I know a lot of people are upset about that move, but I think y'all upset at the wrong person. Now, I do know that Tiki Barber had some harsh things to say to Saquon Barkley. Basically saying, oh, he's dead to me, he's dead to the Giants, yada, yada, yada. You slept with the enemy, you joined the enemy, all that bullshit, right? Me, personally, I'm okay with what Saquon did. Because for the past 2 years, Saquon has wanted the Giants to compensate him. And the Giants didn't do that. They franchise tagged him, and they gave all this money to Daniel Jones, only for him to get hurt and be done for the rest of the season. Saquon, I get it. Injury prone. I get it. But I do believe that you paid a person that is responsible for your success. When you thought of the Giants, you thought of Saquon. You thought of how can we stop him. It's not about Daniel Jones. It was about how you could stop Saquon. Fans were going to games to see Saquon. It wasn't going to see Daniel Jones. Now, towards the latter end of last season, they were going to see Saquon and what's the quarterback? DeVito? Tommy DeVito? I think that's his name. They was going to see him. So Saquon said, okay, y'all don't want to pay me? It was looking like he was going to the Texans. So when I got that alert that the Eagles picked him up, I was very much surprised. And then I saw how much they gave him. I said, oh, he had every right to make that decision. He had every right to make that decision. Y'all didn't want to pay me. So I'm going to be petty. And I'm going to go to the team that's in the division. We're going to play y'all twice. And trust me, this game going to be those two games, when the schedules are made for this upcoming season, those two games that Saquon played the Giants, you better believe he going to have them shits marked on his calendar. He going to have them marked on his calendar because he going to be ready to go. He is definitely going to be ready to go against his former team. So I have no problem with the decision that he made. None. Because listen, there's a lot of players that's going to rivals. Like, The Ravens had some players leave them to go to Pittsburgh. You had some players that went from Pittsburgh to Baltimore. Like, it just happens. You know what I'm saying? It just happens. Derrick Henry, King Henry, leaves Tennessee. And again, going to a rival. But not a rival in the AFC South. He went to Baltimore. So now you got that pairing with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I can only imagine how that's going to play out when the season starts with Baltimore. We know they got the receivers. Can they stay healthy? And now that you have a consistent running game with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, Baltimore going to be dangerous next season because we know what their defense is about. The defense ain't the question. The question has been that offense. So now I'm very much eager to see what's going to happen with Derrick Henry in the backfield. I got to speak on Kirk Cousins. Got to do it. I gots to do it. I want to know who his agent is. I need to know who Kirk Cousins' agent is. Because this dude just keep breaking bank. The dude had a guaranteed contract with the Vikings. I forgot exactly what the contract was, but all of it was guaranteed. All of it. He gets hurt last season. I'm not sure if it was Achilles or ACL. I think it was Achilles. He's now in Atlanta. And again, big contract. Big contract. Big contract. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. It's very much crazy. I honestly need to know who his agent is. Cause maybe he could help me get a raise at my job. Now I know it ain't gonna be in the millions, but you know. Crazy. That man contract, that fully guaranteed shit, is amazing to me. And again, like, I don't have an issue with it. I think Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and say great, because I think that word great gets thrown around too much. So I'm not going to sit here and say great. I think he's a good quarterback, very good. Do I think Atlanta could do some damage? I think they can, especially with the division that they're in, because if you think about it right now, the NFC South, I think the two teams that's basically going to be fighting for that crown is Tampa Bay and Atlanta. New Orleans hasn't made any moves, so I think they're going to take a step back. So I honestly think it's either Atlanta or Tampa. Tampa picked up Baker Mayfield. They gave him an extension. Again, Mike Evans is still there. Chris Godwin is still there. I could definitely see Tampa still being in the fold, you know, with Atlanta for that NFC South crown. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, free agency is going strong. It's going very strong. Very strong. And I just can't wait to see what the rest of these signings do. I'm not going to go into all the free agent signings. I just want to speak about the ones that I felt needed my undivided attention. Because Listen, the Cowboys had their chance. They haven't made any moves, right? They definitely could have went and got Derrick Henry. Because in the offseason, that's where Derrick Henry stays at. He stays in Dallas. You would think that Jerry Jones would say, you know what? I need me a running back to take the load off of Dak. Nope. Nah, why would I do that? Why would I do that? That's Jerry Jones. Why would I do that, right? So Dallas hasn't made any moves. They did lose Tony Pollard. I think Tony Pollard, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he went to Tennessee. Aaron Jones, another running back. Again, we talking about going to rivals. Aaron Jones was with Green Bay. All these years, he was with Green Bay. He now goes to Minnesota. Joe Mixon was with the Bengals. He now goes to the Texans, which I think would be a nice little 1-2 punch with him and C.J. Stroud. Saquon, again, like I said, went to the Eagles. Josh Jacobs goes from Vegas to Green Bay. Austin Eckler was in L.A. with the Chargers, now with the Commanders. DeAndre Swift was with Philly. Obviously, Saquon is there. So now he goes to the Bears. And then the Giants picked up Devin Singletary from Houston. So those are the running backs that wind up leaving to go to new destinations, right? So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But the Chiefs needed another wide receiver. And they wind up getting Hollywood Brown from Baltimore. I think that was the last team. I'm not sure. Was that the last team he was with? He was either with Baltimore or the Cardinals. But don't matter now. He's with Kansas City. So he now goes from being with a team that, I think he was with Arizona. So he goes from being with a team that had no aspirations of winning a Super Bowl to now going to Kansas City to where he's now going to be playing for the defending champs and looking to go for a three-peat. Keenan Allen, who has been an amazing receiver for the Chargers for all these years, he leaves and he goes to the Chicago Bears. The Bears are actually stacking up right now. They're actually stacking up right now. And we all know why they're stacking up, because it's looking like they're going to get Caleb Williams with the number one pick. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Justin Fields. But Green Bay is going to have a 1-2 punch. No, they're not. I'm sorry. Pardon yourself. No, they're not. A.J. Dillon is staying with Green Bay. Aaron Jones left Green Bay. I thought they was still together. Pardon self. But those are basically some of the moves that I definitely want to speak on. I mean, the Eagles picked up Devin White from Tampa, Super Bowl champion. So he now leaves Tampa, now goes to Philly, makes them make you very interested in Philly. It's going to be amazing. Like, that's, I'm liking some of these moves that's happened so far in free agency. I'm liking some of the moves. I very much am. But before I go, I want to say this. I know I don't usually speak on boxing that much. Now, I know the last episode I spoke on, you know, the upcoming fight with Tyson and Jake Paul. But something caught my attention that I definitely, definitely want to speak on. Now, for quite some time now, us boxing fans have been wanting Canelo to fight Benavidez, right? We've been clamoring for that. And for whatever the reason may be, the fight has not happened. Well, I came across a tweet that a Michael Benson put out via the Boxing Voice. Canelo turned down a 92-8 split to fight Benavidez. Now, for those of y'all that don't know what that means is, usually you hear of a 60-40 split. Usually you hear of a 70-30 split. Hell, sometimes you hear of a 50-50 split. It ain't that often that you hear about a 92-8 split. Well, let me tell you what that is, because I'm going to read the tweet. David Benavidez has said he was willing to accept a deal to fight Canelo Alvarez that would have seen him earn $5 million, while Canelo got $60 million, which equates to a 92-8 per split. Plus, Canelo would have had the pay-per-view percentage. That's true, because of his deal with the... What's the pay-per-view? What is it? What's the streaming network? DAZ? What is it? DAZN? Some shit like that? He said, I was completely fine with that. This guy was taking everything, and I'm not saying he shouldn't. I don't give a fuck. I wanted the opportunity. So now, that's making me to believe that maybe Canelo don't want that smoke with Benavidez. Because if you turn down a 92-8 split, if you turn a 92, like, you got everything at your disposal, so why not fight the guy? Why not fight him? You got everything at your disposal. Hell, you would have, listen, the one thing we know about Canelo is this. It's the same thing with Mayweather. They're going to fight either in May or they're going to fight in September. When it comes to those two, because Mayweather is a smart businessman. Cinco de Mayweather, right? Cinco de Mayo. Canelo was Mexican. So you know he's going to fight on that day. You then go to September. I believe there's a Mexican holiday that month as well. Canelo was going to fight that month. So if he was to fight Benavidez, you're getting what you want. The fight is going to happen either in May or September. You're going to be the A side, clearly. And you still don't take the fight? And you getting a 92-8 split? And us as fans are not supposed to believe that you ducking. Now, the crazy thing is this. There's going to be Canelo fans that might hear this. And I know how they are. Everybody has been saying this about Mayweather for years, that he didn't want smoke with certain fighters, right? What's your excuse for Canelo when it comes to this? What's your excuse? I'm waiting to hear the excuses. I'm very much waiting to hear them. Because his apologists are going to try to justify this. You can't. 92-8 split and you still won't get in the ring? So something tells me that you think you're going to lose. That's what it tells me. That's what it tells me. But when y'all hear this, tell me what y'all think. Tell me what y'all think. Tell me exactly what y'all think. But it's a wrap for this episode. I ain't going to be on here for too long, man. I don't want to hold up y'all time. But again, March Madness is coming. It's on the horizon. And I'm excited. I can't wait. I might do a prediction episode, so it's to be determined if next week you get a new episode, because usually you get new episodes every Friday, but next week is to be determined if I do something. Who knows? I might just go live and do something. I'm not sure yet, but just, again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all can catch me on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Podbean. Those are the platforms that you can catch me on. You can catch me on Facebook, Dre Day. You can catch me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. The links are in the bio. And you can catch me on X, Dre Day 1985. So once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 326 is over. May y'all have a blessed weekend. Stay safe. Be safe. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? This your man Dre Day. Bonus content for episode 326. I totally forgot to put this in the original recording, so of course I had to add it with some bonus content. Now listen, y'all already know I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Have been since I was 5 years old. I've said this on multiple episodes. Diehard Yankee fan. I'm riding with my boys until the ship sinks. And we are in deep shit already. And we're only in spring training. It was reported that our ace, Gerrit Cole, will be sidelined 10 to 12 weeks with discomfort in his elbow. Now, luckily, they said that he doesn't have to have surgery, aka Tommy John surgery, which is a good thing. So we're relieved to hear that. However, with him being sidelined for 10 to 12 weeks, they talking about he won't be back to probably June. That puts our starting rotation in the shithole. Because we only got Cortez. We got Carlos Rodon, who's been trash since he's been in pinstripes. Whether it was regular season last year when he came back from his injury to even now in spring training, he's still horrible. We picked up Stroman. I don't know who else we got in that damn starting lineup and our pitching rotation. So we already in trouble and the season hasn't even begun yet. At least regular season. So it's going to be a long season for the Yankees. Now, I recall we were going after former San Diego Padres pitcher Blake Snell. But his asking price was too crazy. I think we may have to go after him now. Now, I'm not saying that he'll take what we give him, because his asking price is a little too crazy. We might have to bite the bullet and get close to what he's asking for, because we have nobody else. Our rotation is very inconsistent. And on top of that, Juan Soto, who's on our team now, he loves Blake Snell. Remember, they used to play with each other, pause, with the Padres. And he's also a former Cy Young winner. Pitched well last year. Now, it's being reported that he prefers to be on the West Coast. But we all know how this game goes. Money talks, bullshit walks. The Yankees are going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something, because with Cole out for right now for about 10 to 12 weeks, basically probably to June, we're in shit right now. So it is not looking too good for my Yankees right now, and I'm not too thrilled with that. Not too thrilled with it at all. Just when I thought we had an ace that I did not have to worry about being injured or possibly on the verge of getting hurt. Now with him having this injury, this shit is going to follow every season on from here on out. Because once you catch that one injury, you keep getting hurt. You keep getting hurt. No matter what it is, once you get that one injury, once you sustain that one injury, you continue to get hurt. And it's looking like that's going to be the case with Gerrit Cole for the foreseeable future. I'm disgusted. But I had to add this to the episode. I had to. I just had to do it. But yeah, I'm not too thrilled with this right now. I'm not. This is... Sucks. Sucks. I'm telling you, being a Yankee fan sometimes is stressful. It's very stressful. But we're going to see what my Yankees do. We're going to see what they do. And listen, to be honest with you, I really didn't have no expectations for us this year anyway. I do feel like we would have a winning record, but we won't make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I suspected when it's before the season started. Even with the addition to Juan Soto, it was always our pitching that was the issue. It was always. And it's even more of the issue now. Now that Cole was out probably all the way to June. But again, that was the bonus content for this episode. Episode 326 is fully done. It's officially done. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace.